Hey, good afternoon, Kansas City. Thanks so much for joining us on Art Speak Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That's where we're at. Yay. Thanks so much for tuning in and making us a priority in your afternoon lineup. Today's lineup, we have just a terrific room filled full of artists and creators and writers. We have artist Nathan Savoia, George Guastello. We have Anne Gachet, Shell Navarro, Eve Brackenberry. We have R.H. Wilhoit here in the studio to talk with you, and we're going to get started right away. First of all, we're going to talk to Nathan Savoia and George Guastello from the Union Station here in Kansas City, which is a 103-year-old historical landmark that's celebrated. It's a celebrated civic asset, renovated, reopened to the public in 1999. Now, the organization is dedicated to science, education, celebration of community, and preservation of history. And right now, they're going to show their first major museum exhibition, The Art of the Brick. And it's using Lego bricks as the sole art medium. Nathan Savoia is the artist who is creating work for this. He's a former New York City corporate lawyer turned contemporary artist, and Nathan Savoia is the first artist ever to take the Lego brick into the art world as a medium. So we're very excited to have Nathan and George Guastello, who is the president and CEO of Union Station. Welcome, my friends.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Great to have you. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I just love Union Station. It's such a beautiful gem in the city. Let's talk about Union Station for a bit, shall we, George?
You know, you did a great job talking about our mission and vision statement. Yeah. But, you know, it's Kansas City's home. We are selected as Kansas City's monument. It's really our front door, and it's a community asset. So we're really thrilled that we're able to have a world-class science center that is recommended and recognized as one of the finest in the world. But we also have some of the greatest touring exhibitions.
And we do.
We've been so fortunate, from Pompeii to mummies to Tut, and now we really wanted to change it up. So we searched the world to find one of the most creative pieces of artwork that really mixes science and art together. And we were very fortunate to find Art of the Brick, and we're thrilled that Nathan is in Kansas City. Our community is all tied to art. The Nelson,
the
Kansas City Art Institute.
Yeah.
And now we have Nathan, and when you walk through this exhibit, you will be blown away.
I love that. And I should mention that Nathan is an author and speaker, and he's one of the most popular award-winning contemporary artists of our time. And I believe your website is brickartist.com, right?
Correct. Yes, thank you. And I should say, I'm thrilled to be at Union Station. Such a prestigious venue. Housing the Art of the Brick is fantastic. It gives the entire exhibition room to breathe, to walk through this exhibition. I got to walk through it last night. We're still putting on the finishing touches, and it just looks so great in Union Station. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to see what the people of Kansas City think.
Well, I think it's really exciting. Not only is it at the historic Union Station, because it's such a beautiful landmark. I can't say enough about Union Station. I just love being there and sort of the presence of the history and all that. But then to sort of play off the contemporary art is another thing, another sort of appeal. And, you know, I have to ask you, Nathan, former New York City corporate lawyer, how did you get into contemporary art? And you know, what was that all about?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it might go back all the way to my childhood. I had parents who were always encouraging creativity. There were always creative toys around, like Lego bricks. But it was later in life. You know, I got out of college, and what does any young budding artist do? Well, of course, they go to law school. And I ended up, I think there were some societal pressures to go be a professional, and maybe some parental pressures, I don't know. But I ended up going to law school, practicing law. And when I was practicing law at this law firm in New York City, I would come home at night, and I would need some sort of creative outlet. And sometimes that was drawing, sometimes it was painting or writing. But one day I thought about sculpting, and I'd sculpted out of more traditional media, things like clay and wire, and I thought, what about this toy from my childhood? could I use Lego bricks and take it into the contemporary art world, create large-scale sculptures? So I started just experimenting and eventually left the law firm behind to become a full-time artist.
That's a terrific story. I love that. I love that. And we're so lucky. We're so fortunate to have you here in Kansas City for the Art of the Brick at Union Station. I want to tell listeners that as an early bonus to the Art of the Brick at Union Station, Nathan will make a rare artist appearance. A rare signing as the exhibition opens. And you're going to unveil a creation just for Kansas City, right?
Yes, I have created something.
Yeah.
Specifically for this exhibition. I've been working on it the last month, and I'm very, very excited to be revealing it very soon.
Can you tell me what it is?
No. But Nathan, what he did was he took the essence of Kansas City and its spirit and its community engagement and what we're proud of. And it's been really enjoyable to work with he and his team because we are unique at Union Station. We'd like to take you on that journey.
Yeah.
And Nathan and his team has created that journey. You'll be able to experience the old pump room. You'll feel all the excitement. Wow. We'll take you into a theater. You'll learn. Nathan will speak to you. The wall magically disappears, and then you will go on to amazing journey into this creative world. It is MoMA-esque. It is so stunning, and will take you through a complete journey where children and families and adults will really be mesmerized. Selfies are recommended. And then at the very end, after you see the final pièce de résistance, the true Kansas City spirit that he captured, I'm not going to tell any more about it, then you have the opportunity to go into an activation room where all you can create your own. So it's a great experience. We really want all of Kansas City to come out. Best of all, no dead bodies in this one, no artifacts. It's all creative. It is. We are so proud that this international exhibition is coming to Kansas City. Nathan chose Kansas City for this, and now we need to make sure that all of Kansas City comes out because, you know, everything that when people come always helps to preserve our magnificent building for future generations. So we hope everybody come out. No.
Well, it sounds like so much fun. So it's not just, you know, looking at the art and the Legos and what you have created, but there's also a hands-on
amazing
sort of,
place. Yeah. So much fun.
Now, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to artist Nathan Savoia and President, CEO of Union Station, George Guastello. They're talking about the Art of the Brick. This is going to be the first major museum exhibition to use Lego bricks as the sole art medium. And we just love that it's happening here in our backyard and at the Union Station. For more information, what is the website that...
Certainly, you go out to unionstation.org. There's some great videos that Nathan did for us. Go out to our Facebook, see some things where he invites Kansas City to come and experience it. When you see it at we're opening this Friday evening, so come out, and then we'll be closing on Memorial Day weekend, which is, of course, is when we do celebration at the station over 40,000 people with the symphony. So, and when you drive by Union Station, you'll see a 25-foot Art of the Brick logo right in the front.
Oh,
so there's nothing better.
That.
So we hope all of Kansas City comes out and really will be blown away by
exhibition. I'm sure. It's just a great thing happening here. And unionstation.org for details. Also, folks can follow you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And Nathan, again, your brickartist.com. So now you can't tell me what you're creating specifically for Kansas City, but can you write it down and I won't tell anyone?
You have to ask him what his favorite piece is, though. There are so many.
You know what? How many pieces actually are in this exhibition, or is it sort of ongoing, a work in progress?
There are over 120 works of art, all using Lego bricks. So it's the largest exhibition I've ever done.
Wow.
So there's a lot to look at. And there's different galleries that focus on different themes. What we've done is put together an exhibition that really spans my entire career. So you'll see work from very early on that I started doing that was very representational. You'll see some pieces where I took on art history, took on the masters of the art world, and really explored replicating those, but out of this child's toy. Because one of the things I want to do is inspire. And one of the great things about Lego is that I can reach a younger audience because they know this medium as a toy.
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
how could you talk to a five-year-old about the Mona Lisa? It might be a tough conversation to start, but if they see it made out of a toy they've played with, it at least is a doorway they can walk through to enter into that conversation about the art world. So that's one of the examples. And then there's other more original works of art that I've done, some very avant-garde, surreal pieces, and some pieces of whimsy as well. So there's a lot to look at, including a 20-foot dinosaur skeleton that took me an entire summer to build.
Wow. Wow, so that's terrific.
There is something for everyone in this exhibition.
I promise you, you'll be blown away. When we wanted to bring this to Kansas City, we thought, you know, when they covered all the sidewalks in Yellow by Christo, and it was a big talk in Kansas City, we brought Picasso, we wanted to have that type of exhibition, and that's the exhibition that we have with Nathan's creativity, and we want all of Kansas City to say, you know, we saw it. We're a big town, and we're pleased that it's in Kansas City.
Well, and I love that, you know, Legos as just, you know, a toy in itself has reached so many generations. So, you know, you're going to have grandparents and sisters and children and grandchildren all out there, and they recognize Lego as something that, you know, that maybe they continue to play with or you know, build on. But
It makes the art accessible because everyone has snapped a few bricks together. Mm-hmm. So everyone will connect to this type of exhibition. You might go to an art exhibition and see a marble sculpture somewhere, and you can appreciate that marble sculpture, but very few people come home at night and have marble in their home they can chip away at. But everyone has Lego bricks, and that's what I'm trying to do, is inspire everyone. And this is the type of exhibition that can do it. Because of that familiarity with the toy, it allows the audience to just connect with the art immediately.
Yeah, and everyone stepped on a few Legos, too, I'm sure. I mean, that's...
I don't even feel it anymore.
It's all good. And with us being in the center of the crossroads now, with all the burgeoning experiences that are happening in the art world, so we're really going to be focusing on getting millennials and 20-somethings in. We'll be doing a brick and brews on Friday night, so we'll want everybody to come out, barbecue.
How fun is that?
So more coming, but we need, you know, we have all those 40,000 people that are hanging in the streets during First Fridays. We can't wait for them to come and experience Nathan's creativity.
Well, and for complete exhibition details, you can visit unionstation.org, and that will give you all the information that you need to plan ahead, plan accordingly to what's happening for that evening. And the other thing is, you know, with Union Station right there, you've got the cars, the streetcars that go by, so you can access Union Station, you know, from anywhere, really.
Over a million people now that ride that, and they leave it right off at Union Station, so
there
it connects us, so we really are thrilled.
There you go. So is there anything that I've left out or that you want to touch on before we wind down this conversation?
No. I think, you know, I'm just excited to see the reaction of folks from Kansas City. This show has traveled around the world, and to be here and to be in my home country, to be here in Kansas City and see what people think of it, it's pretty exciting.
Now, you know, as I've been talking to Nathan Sawoya, he's created a three-dimensional sculpture of me out of Legos.
So you can I've been snapping
away. That's how quick he is.
with the bricks.
Thank you, Nathan. You know, is this the first time you've been to Kansas City?
I've been here as a visitor before, so I had some knowledge that may have influenced what I ended up building this exhibition. Again, you'll have to come to the exhibition to see it, though. I'm not giving anything away right now.
We can't. So we want to really invite all of Kansas City to come down to its home. You know, we support ourselves. We don't get tax dollars. We don't get any type of federal, local, or state funding. So every time somebody comes and leaves a little money to come to those events, that's how we keep that magnificent building running. We're all earned income. So when you come down, remember, every dollar of that ticket is going to go to preserve that magnificent building. So you will be amazed. You'll be sent to a whole new world, but it'll have a great feeling of history and creativity and pride that Kansas City has become known for.
Spoken with true heart. Thank you, George. You know, for more information and to purchase tickets, visit the Union Station website at unionstation.org/artofthebrick. I want to thank you so much, artist Nathan Sawoya and George Guastello, president, CEO of Union Station.
Thank
Please
you.
Come back
we
and
will.
See me.
Thank you
and I want to mention to our listeners, I've got two pairs of tickets, that I'm going to take the third and the fourth caller. Don't call me yet because I'm still on air. If you call 816-931-5534, the third and the fourth caller, you can pick them up here during business hours, 8 to 5, at the station at 3901 Main. The number is 816-931-5534, and that's 816-931-5534, the third and fourth caller. Thank you so much, Nathan and George, and we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Thanks so much for tuning in to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Very good. We do have our winners. Congratulations to Carl and Philip, who won those tickets to the Lego, the Art of the Brick. So next up, we have Anne Gachet and Shell Navarro here from the Writer's Place. They're going to talk about what's happening at the Writer's Place. There's always so much going on. We love the Writer's Place. So, yeah, let's get started. Hello, Anne and Shell.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us on the show.
You bet. And you're the director, the board president of the Writer's Place, and there's so much happening just during the month, during the week. So let's get started. What's going on?
I would love to start just by giving people a sense of what the place is, because it's not called the Writer's Place for nothing. There's a beautiful early 20th century home in the Valentine neighborhood. It's at 3607 Pennsylvania, kind of just steps away from the Uptown Theater. A stone building with crenellations on the top. It's just kind of a charming place to drive by, but you're always welcome to stop in the Writer's Place and find out about our current programs, or if you're a member, to just hang out and write. We have a lovely, quiet library, and the spaces in the house are just charming, and I think it's always important for people to know that that place that says the Writer's Place is a place for anybody who's interested in writing.
So. You know, and it's a great way to hang out with other writers or to listen to some terrific writers, poets, authors of local, you know, books and that sort of thing. So, yeah, the Writer's Place has a pretty good history in that Gloria Vandohitcock and her husband William. Right?
Yes. Bill and Gloria founded it 26 years ago now.
Yeah,
and
that's crazy.
It has been making important partnerships all over the city ever since then, with, you know, every major arts organization and lots of smaller ones and many individual artists, writers, and other artists who come together to celebrate things through the written word. And now we're doing, I mean, not that they haven't in the past, but certainly now we are really focusing also on the spoken word and bringing in poetry slams and the wonderful spoken word community that's burgeoning in Kansas City.
And you're right in our backyard, actually. You're at 3607 Pennsylvania. So there's readings, creative writing classes, writing groups. There's even an art gallery that, I don't know if people are aware that it houses an art gallery, which is really pretty exciting.
We just had a very exciting opening this month for Glenisha Johnson's Dialogue in Color. Glenisha is a recent Kansas City Art Institute graduate, Charlotte Street Fellow, and just a wonderful young creative mind in our city. She's getting a lot of attention from our major museums. In fact, she sold a piece to the Nerman on her opening night at the Writer's Place, which we're very proud of and happy for. It's it also that opening is a great example of what we're really excited about doing now. And I know Shell's going to talk more about this, but we are bringing in a lot of multi-arts programming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at Glenisha's opening, seven poets, local poets, each read an original poem written for one of the works in the show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a poetry reading and kind of interactive art exhibit where people were walking around, reading the poems, talking to the poets, and looking at the works. And it's that kind of cooperative spirit among the arts and artists in the city that we are celebrating more and more at the Writer's Place.
Beautiful. And Shell, you want to talk about some of the exhibitions and other programming there?
Yes, one of the things we're doing, pardon me, as a fundraiser is we're doing a show of tiny art, and we are taking submissions through January 31st. So It's any media you want to use for art, but it has to be 6x6 or smaller. And we're going to have a show in our library on the 22nd of February. It's also, we're including our first writing contest, which is called Make It New, which is basically a poetry contest using ekphrastic writing, which is about a surrealist piece, but it's a two-line poem. So along with, so basically our event, which is under the umbrella of our mixed media mixers, is a tiny art show with a tiny poetry reading.
I love that. That's
so
a great
everything
idea.
At the
everything is tiny.
Everything's gonna be tiny. Tiny bottles of wine, tiny food.
We are so lucky at the Writer's Place because we have a program coordinator who just loves to have fun. Shell is just a blast. She likes to she'll get going on a theme and has no fear of taking it to the extreme.
You know, and Shell, for the call for artists and all that, how can people get involved or find out more information about that?
Well, if you go to our website, writersplace.org, and go to the link, it's actually on our homepage. It says it's the very first slide on our website, a tiny art show. And from there, it'll have submission guidelines. Mm-hmm. And then the artist can contact me at shell@writersplace.org to submit the piece. Mm-hmm.
And don't miss the opportunity. You know, I mean, there is a real range of of art in this show, and I don't mean to belittle it, but it's easy to get in. I mean, we have somebody who's going to make, we're going to have people making tiny food, people bringing tiny drinks. And so it's just, that's the kind of thing that Shell is great at and that we're really excited about at the Writer's Place. Creating opportunities, of course, for high literature and great art, but also opportunities for just everyone to come together and be creative together and find a place in the literary world.
And Shell, with that tiny show too, I mean, that's a fairly large gallery space. So will you have maybe a dozen artists or so, or are you looking to really fill up the walls?
Yeah, I would really like to fill up all of the walls.
But so it's in a different, it's not in the main gallery.
Yeah, it's going to be upstairs in the library.
Right, okay.
So the curved walls, right now I have about over 10 artists that are submitting work now, but I would like to get as many as possible. Plus, it's also a sale. So the work or the money from the sale goes back to the artist, but also helps the Writer's Place.
Oh, good.
So it's a fundraiser for the Writer's Place.
Terrific. If you just tuned in, I am talking to Board President Anne Gachet and Shell Navarro, the coordinator?
Program coordinator at the Writer's Place.
And that is located at 3607 Pennsylvania, just right around the corner from our studio here. And so, you know, as I mentioned, or as they mentioned, there's so many different programs that the Writer's Place offers: readings, creative writing classes, writing groups, the art gallery, and so much more. So tell us what's on the calendar, what's upcoming that you can share with us.
Well, we have a great slate of workshops coming up this spring. If you're interested in memoir writing, we have Patrick Dobson, the wonderful
Patrick Dobson.
Yeah. Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
The great poet and memoirist. Patrick is going to be presenting again. I think this will be the third or fourth time he's done it at the Writer's Place. His four-week series on writing memoir. We also have some great poets coming to work on various aspects of poetry. We have a journalist coming to speak, Bronwyn Dickey, who wrote recently published in 2017, published a book on the pit bull. She's giving a work on research and writing journalistically. And there's a lot. If you go to writersplace.org and look at our events or at our workshop listings, you'll be amazed at how much we have coming this way in the coming months. We also we have a great history of the open mic. Sharon Eicher has been running her open mic for 25 years at the Writer's Place, and the fourth Monday of mm-hmm. every month at 7, you can come and read your work. Sharon's very supportive, and it's a lot of fun. We have programs for veterans. If you are a veteran or a family member of a veteran, please give us a ring. We have wonderful programming in collaboration with some partners who are supporting the veteran community through writing and creative self-expression. So, again, there's a lot of information about that on our website.
And there's some outreach programs that you do with the different schools and school groups,
In our
right?
own words, yeah. Is a youth program that we have for a number of the city's schools. We go in to schools that are underserved, where the students especially need help with creative self-expression for honestly just coping with life, mm-hmm. but also mm-hmm. Really can use the support as writers. And we have excellent poets and great experienced teachers mm-hmm. who are going in to work with them in the schools, in our own words.
You know, I just want to let you know that you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're going to take a quick break for some underwriting, and we're also going to hear a little bit about Take Two. And then we're going to be right back with Anne Gachet and Shel Navarro, and we're going to add Eve Brackenberry, who's going to talk about the Burn Supper right after this. Hello, this is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and we're so happy that you've joined us. We're talking to Anne Gachet, Shel Navarro, and now we've got the ever beautiful and lovely, talented Eve Brackenberry, who's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the Burn Supper, because that's going to be held at the Writer's Place, and welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Maria. I'm thrilled to be here, as always. I love this place.
Yay.
I love the Writer's Place, and I'm excited to be part of a great event coming up.
Yeah, so the Burn Supper. Tell us about that.
Well, the Burn Supper is actually a celebration of the life, works, and spirit of Robert Burns, the 18th century poet. It's an event that's celebrated around the world. The first supper actually was in 1801,
wow.
5 years after his death. And it was in July, in honor of his death, but it quickly moved to January, his birthday, which is January 25th. And so around the world, you'll find Burn Suppers close to that date. And January 28th, this Sunday, is when the Writer's Place, and something I'm thrilled to be a part of, is hosting the Burn Supper for Kansas City. And if you've never been to a Burn Supper, the listening audience, please think about coming, and also just look it up. It's one heck of a lot of fun.
Eve, what is the Scottish? This is Anne, the Writer's Place president, and I'm going to go to my first Burn Supper on January 28th. What's on the menu? What will people be eating at the Burn Supper?
Well, there is an official itinerary that most people follow when they gather, and on the menu is haggis.
Yum!
Haggis. What is haggis?
Haggis is a traditional Scottish dish. It's a lot of not-so-pleasant-sounding stuff stuffed in a sheep's belly skin and eaten. High in protein, great for the Highlanders. We'll be getting some British haggis in for the event. Part of the poem that he had written, his ode to a haggis, talks about stabbing the reeky beastie, and so we'll be doing that as part of the itinerary.
We're not going to stab a reeky beastie, though, are we?
Sure we are.
And then
we'll put a little on a cracker and enjoy some, and we'll have a full traditional Scottish dinner as well.
Sipping a bit of Scottish whiskey and reading poems by or about Robert Burns. I read here that the Scottish attire is welcome.
Scottish attire is really welcome and encouraged. Terrific. And we're thrilled to see the tartans and scarves and kilts and all the fun stuff. It's like cosplay, but real.
Yeah. So do folks have to make reservations or call ahead, reserve a spot for this, whether it be for the dinner or the reading?
The event is preferred RSVP. Uh-huh. I would love to drop a line and say that you're wanting to attend. You don't have to, though. It is a free event, but we are encouraging people to get creative and maybe donate a traditional Scottish dish, uh-huh, or some poetry from Scotland or Robert Burns. And always, of course, we encourage people to contribute generously to the Writer's Place.
Absolutely. So where do they RSVP to the Writer's Place website or email?
Writersplace.org.
Okay.
Or if you look on Facebook on the Writer's Place, you'll see a link to an event, a Facebook event listing for the Burns Supper.
To the Burns Supper,
yeah.
Yes.
So you can RSVP through Facebook, or you can contact the Writer's Place and drop a message.
And just like any other house in your neighborhood, the Writer's Place is a place that loves to get an RSVP and know how many folks are coming, but we also like it when people just stop in and say, I decided to come. So we'll make room for you, yeah, if you come at the last minute.
I actually met some amazing friends last year who happened to stop in. It was their first Burns Supper as well. That was a beautiful time of making new friends and sharing this event with old friends.
And Shel, will the art or will there be music to accompany this Burns Supper?
I'm not really sure. I throw it back to Eve on that one.
We will have a soundtrack of some traditional bagpipe music. There's also a few guests that come every year, and we share original poetry and songs and music.
So you see, there's something for everyone at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania. Writersplace.org is the website. You know, as I introduced Eve Brackenberry, she's the owner and founder of Inklings in Blue Springs. Tell us a little bit about Inklings and what's coming up on your calendar, because we love Inklings.
Inklings Books and Coffee Shop is named after another British group of poets and writers, notably C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien. They called themselves the Inklings. They met at a pub and coffee, mm-hmm, establishment. Uh-huh. At Inklings in Blue Springs, Missouri, we have lots of veterans groups and writers groups and poetry groups that meet. This Saturday, by the way, and I wasn't prepared to share this, but I'm glad to.
Do tell.
We have an amazing poet, Cameron Morse. His first book is coming out at 5 p.m. We're having a poetry reading and book signing for Cameron Morse. He's a UMKC student. His book is an award-winning book. And you'll get a taste of some of the literary events that happen in eastern Jackson County, yeah, in Blue Springs. We're at 1101 West Main Street. And Saturday is going to be an amazing event. Sunday at the Writer's Place is going to be an amazing event. And I want to say that I contacted the Writer's Place a few years ago. I've been hosting the Burns Supper for 12 years.
Wow,
whether
good
it's
for
been
you
at my store, yeah, or it's been, yeah, in my home, it's a piece of literary tradition that I carry on. I firmly believe the best place in Kansas City to host a Burns Supper is the Writer's Place.
Very good.
It's a
very
great
good
place to host a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, Eve, if you could give us the address of Inklings Book and Coffee one more time.
1101 West Main Street. We're on the corner of 11th and Main Street in downtown Blue Springs.
And website?
Website is inklingsbookscoffee.net.
Terrific. And everyone is on social media, Facebook or,
yes,
Instagram,
Twitter,
all
Instagram,
that. Yeah,
like,
we love that. Well, I want to thank you so much, Eve Brackenberry, for coming in. Thank you so much, Anne Gache and Will Navarro. Thank you so much for sharing with us what's happening in the literary community. We love when you come in and talk to us about what's going on. So do come back, right?
It's a pleasure,
thank
Maria.
You.
Thank you so much.
Terrific.
For having us.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Hey, and I like you because you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're so happy to be a part of your day, of your afternoon. Thank you so much. I want to remind you that next week we begin our pledge drive, so I know you will you will pledge lots of money for this station, not just for ArtSpeak Radio, but for this wonderful community radio station. Up next, we have Dan Bourne and R.H. Wilhoit. They're going to talk about the Storm production and EMU Theater presenting the play Bent. It's the story of gays swept up in the Nazi Holocaust. So let's welcome Dan and R.H.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so happy that you're here. And let's talk about Bent. So this opens with it swept up the story of gays swept up in the Nazi Holocaust, mm-hmm. right? And it's going into production when?
We actually open tomorrow, January 25th, at the Lawrence Arts Center Black Box Theater. Well, I believe it's at 7:30. Yeah,
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30. Yes, sir.
So let's talk about the play. Give us a little bit more information about the
play.
Story
is written by Martin Sherman, and it was first produced in London in 1979, and it was what made Ian McKellen a star back then. That was what he rose to fame on, and he played the role of Max, who is something of a playboy in 1930s Berlin as the Nazis rose to power. And the play is the story of Max and what happens to him when he gets involved in the Nazi purge of homosexuals.
And, you know, it's really interesting because as I'm reading through this, it says Max and Rudy are on the pink list. Can we talk about the pink list? What is that?
Absolutely. So everybody's familiar with the star given to Jewish prisoners in the Holocaust camps, the Star of David, Yellow Star of David. People that were considered, quote-unquote, queer in the Holocaust camps were given a pink triangle. So this play definitely focuses on the pink triangle persecutions of homosexuals.
And so, you know, the play runs the 25th, 26th, 27th of this month at the Lawrence Arts Center. And, is it a difficult play to perform, to present because of the content? I mean, not only just the Holocaust, but then, you know, the targeted folks in this play.
Oh, absolutely. The show actually starts off, and this isn't much of a spoiler for you, on a bit of a light note. The first scene almost plays like the first scene of a Neil Simon comedy. And but the problem is that the night previous to this first scene, there was the Night of the Long Knives, which was a purge of Hitler's leadership, and that's when the SA became the SS, and we entered into a much darker territory.
The play is very intense, but it also has lighter notes sprinkled throughout that wouldn't keep the note, doesn't keep it light exactly, but it does relieve the tension somewhat.
So the co-directors are Dan Bourne, Christy Scanlon Dobson, production team Sarah Jane Russell, Kina Reimer Schmidt, Jason Badgett, Todd Schwartz, Jeanette Salisbury, and Megan Fairchild. And who is in the cast?
Oh, we've got a lot of good actors, actually.
We've got some amazing actors in the cast.
Oh, yeah. We've got Connor Eastman. He's a Kansas City actor. And also a whole bunch of Lawrence actors that I was not familiar with. We've got, let's see, Bryce Ostrom, Travis DeRouse, Alec Joyce, Todd Schwartz, Marie Obania. And, really great people. And they're all super motivated to bring integrity to this important production.
Yeah, Hollis is playing Max. I've got to say he does a wonderful job.
Oh, great.
It's been a real joy to work with these people, their commitment to telling this story. And this story is a message play, but it's not just a message play. It's also a really good play on its own.
That, again, is going to be at the Lawrence Arts Center. And where is that located in Lawrence?
It's at 940 New Hampshire Street.
Great.
Which is right downtown.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility, lawrencearchcenter.org, for more information. And what Was there any difficulty in bringing this to stage? I mean, again, because the content is a little bit heavier, but you say it's sort of levied by some entertaining.
Absolutely. And also, there's a bit of levity with the amount of love demonstrated in the show.
Oh,
love
okay.
ends up triumphing over everything in any situation, in my opinion. And this show is a wonderful indication of that. It's about these two men who find love in such terrible circumstances. And that's made all of the intense rehearsals worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, and for folks that can't get out to the Lawrence Arts Center during the time, the 25th, 26th, and 27th, and then, wait, you have a matinee at January 28th at 3.
Yes, ma'am.
You're also going to perform at the Pearl here in Kansas City, right?
Yes.
And what are those dates?
Those dates are the 2nd and the 3rd at 8 o'clock.
Terrific. Now, is there information on for the Pearl for that presentation online or
for that presentation? You can go to Facebook and search for the Pearl KC, and that will give you all the information about our production there.
And so, RH, you play Max,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is this how long have you been an actor, and what are some of the roles that you have?
I've done here in Casey. Well, I've been acting since I was about 15. I was a late bloomer. I was pretty shy up until then. I graduated from Drury University in Springfield, Missouri. And I made my way up to KC and the Lawrence area, actually, a few years ago. And so I've been involved, and I was just in Charlie Brown Christmas at the Coterie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've been in a few Heart of America Shakespeare Festival productions. I got an email from Christy Dobson, the co-director of this show, Bent. We had worked together in a show in Lawrence called Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean, another fun play. And, she brought up this wonderful opportunity, and not only did it seem like a good next step career-wise, but also soul-wise. It just seemed like the right time to do a play like this personally and socially.
Yeah. And co-director Dan Bourne, you've been directing for a number of years?
Well, actually, I'm a playwright. Christy and I have known each other for a long time. We're on the board of a local Lawrence art gallery called The Percolator, which is where we've been having our rehearsals. And she was kind of the guiding force behind Storm Door Productions, and I was involved for a long time with Emu Theater, which is an independent theater in Lawrence, Kansas. And for various reasons, we found we really hadn't been doing a lot of theater lately. Storm Door was concentrating on film projects, and Emu hadn't done any shows for a while, and we kind of thought, well, we'd like to do some theater. So we really haven't come up with a name for our production company yet, but we kind of joined forces. Some of the people in this production are, you know, from Emu, some are from Storm Door, some are from outside, and we just kind of pooled forces and thought, well, this is the play that feels like the right time to do this play.
Yeah, so it's very timely, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like everybody in the cast and the production crew feels the same. Part of what makes, well, a result of it being so socially relevant is we're actually going to have a panel after every performance.
Oh, great.
In Lawrence. And are we doing a panel in Kansas City at the Pearl as well, where we can take questions and have a bit of a cathartic conversation about the show afterwards?
I think that makes a big difference, too, doesn't it? It gives people a chance to share not only their thoughts and ask questions, but it's you're right, it's cathartic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Dan Bourne and R.H. Willett in the play. We're talking about the play Bent. It's the story of gays swept up in the Nazi Holocaust. The play opens with the dissolute playboy Max and his gentle boyfriend Rudy discussing the wild scene that Max had been part of the night before. But little did they know that night was also the infamous night of the long knives in which Hitler targeted his enemies, real and perceived, for death. So Max and Rudy are on the pink list, as it were. Performances, again, are at the Lawrence Arts Center January 25th, 26th, 27th at 7:30. And then January 28th, you have a matinee at 3. Now, there is a suggested donation for these productions, right?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. For the ones in Lawrence.
And then following that, the Pearl in KC, February 2nd and 3rd, will be performed here. And the Pearl is located?
That is at 1710 Wyandotte. It used to be the home of the fish tank.
Right,
so if people are familiar with that.
Now, do you folks need to make reservations for the Pearl? Or
I believe you can purchase tickets.
You can purchase tickets at the door. You can also go to eventbrite.com and look for and buy a ticket there.
Is there information on Facebook or other social media that you want to share?
Yes, yes. You can go on, look for events, Bent at the Pearl KC or Bent at the Lawrence Arts Center. And you can find information there.
Yeah. Do you expect a rather large dialogue with us after the production?
Oh gosh, I hope so.
Yes, I hope so too. Yeah.
I absolutely hope so. This is something. I mean, I go home after rehearsal every night, and I need a bit of a debriefing. In order to decompress and figure out what went on mentally and physically in the show.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very taxing.
It is, but it's so worth it with this group of people. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I did want to mention to the listening audience that this is an adult show. It's 18 and up that we
Thank
recommend.
Thank you for that,
Yes, it has some very intense subject matter and scenes in it.
What would be the cutoff? Like maybe high school age or a little older?
It varies so much with kids.
Sure.
But, I would say no one under 16, absolutely. Okay. Probably 18.
That's good to know. Yeah, that's good to know. LawrenceArtsCenter.org/event/Bent for more information. That is the website. And again, there is a suggested donation for the performances at the Lawrence Arts Center. And at the Pearl, it's you can pay at the door, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. After this, do you have something coming up in the works? Because people always have something like, as soon as I finish this, I've got this going on. Do you have anything coming up?
Christy and I have lots of ideas. Nothing that we're ready to announce yet.
Let me twist your arm, Dan.
We've talked about the Lawrence Arts Center has been a very supportive sponsor in this, and they've committed to giving us space for a season and putting some resources into that. So, we're talking possibly some Amy Baker plays, possibly some Thornton Wilder plays.
Oh, cool.
There's just a number of plays that we would like to get into, but we really haven't had time to talk about that lately, of course.
That's great. Is there anything that we left out that you want to mention?
Well, I don't believe so. That's just about it.
Yeah.
Come see the show. One thing Christy and I are committed to is theater that's passionate and intense and affordable, and I think we've delivered that.
I like that. The Lawrence Arts Center and the Pearl, they're both very intimate spaces, so that you're really up close and you can see the action and really kind of to be a part of that. So, yeah, very good. Thank you so much, Dan Bourne and R.H. Wilhoit. Break a leg.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. And I know you'll be back soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with upcoming information and stuff going on. So, yay, thank you so much. I also want to thank Nathan Savoya, who is the artist, the Lego artist that you'll see at the Union Station. Also, CEO, president of the Union Station, George Guastello. And Gache, thank you so much for coming in. Shell Navarro, Eve Brackenberry, and, of course, Dan Bourne and R.H. Wilhoit. I want to tell you, next up is Jazz in the Afternoon. We are going to be filled in. Ebony Johnson is going to fill in for Jeff Harshbarger, and so stay tuned for that. She's got some great music lined up for your listening pleasure. Next week, January 31st, it's the end of January, we have Allison Patterson, Lee Lynch, we've got lots of folks, Eve Reynolds. We're going to talk about arts in prison, and that's going to be next week, January 31st, here on ArtSpeak Radio. I want you to like us on Facebook. We're at 666 likes, which is kind of scary, but do like us on Facebook, and you can pick up the podcast from this program on our website, kkfi.org, and iTunes. Subscribe to those, and I want to thank you so much, so very, very much for listening, and honey, I'm coming home.